This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Okay, so let's go to this Browns offense here. I think Elijah Moore out of the slot, I thought he played pretty well. When I was watching, you know, some of this the Browns breakdown stuff, Cedric Tillman was looking nice. I mean, where have they been hiding this guy? But clearly the Browns passing offense has been unlocked, because you and I have been talking about this for freaking months now. The oil and water nature of Deshaun Watson, a primary, almost exclusively shotgun passer in an offense with Kevin Stefanski that requires a under center in pocket passer, right? Well, he's got that, and it's not even a good one. It's an average guy in Jameis Winston, but shoot, that guy, because he can run under center and play in the pocket, is unlocking this entire Kevin Stefanski playbook. And this is the result that you see, them beating a very good Baltimore Ravens team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, and obviously, like, we have talked about the shotgun and the oil and the water and all this stuff with Kevin Stefanski and Deshaun Watson and all this stuff. Right. I will say that, you know, it's worth noting that Ken Dorsey did take the play calling over officially in this one, which I thought was interesting, because I was like, man, didn't we bring Ken Dorsey in here to kind of mostly be the Deshaun Watson whisperer here?
Yeah.
But they did go under center with Jameis Winston. He's only had 6 of 12 attempts this year from under center, or from the shotgun, excuse me. So, yeah, they did go to more of the under center stuff. And look, honestly, like, all that stuff is important, all the things we discussed there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, let's just call it for what it is. They have a viable NFL quarterback back there now in Jameis Winston. Is he special or anything like that? No, but like, no. Deshaun Watson was not playing viable NFL football. And that's right. Why it's like, I tweeted this today. If at any point in the last 2 years, you've been sitting here thinking like, am I crazy? Am I crazy? Like, the Browns have talented pass catchers. Like, why are they not? Am I crazy? Am I wrong? Is it me? Why don't they have a productive passing offense? It ain't you. It's not you. You're not crazy. You're not stupid. Uh-huh. It's not you. You were right. You're right. If that was what you believed, and that is what we've believed on this show. Like, look, Elijah Moore, maybe he will never be as good as I thought he was going to be as a prospect, but he does not suck. He should not be like, you know, averaging 0.6 yards per route run or something like that. All of these receivers' efficiency metrics look terrible because the quarterback is terrible. And also, they have a lot of guys in there to throw the football to. That's what I think is key here. That, like, dude, even a guy like Jerry Jeudy, who I've been certifiably below consensus on.
Yep.
Jerry Jeudy isn't a god-awful NFL player. He's been overrated at times, but he's not just useless out there, and he's doing nothing with Deshaun Watson.
Nothing.
He can be like a solid complimentary third receiver. And then Cedric Tillman, you mentioned where are they hiding this guy. I think they have wanted to get Tillman on the field for a long time. They've even sent yes, they sent signals about this in minicamp, where they were kind of, some reporters like, they're using Cedric Tillman a lot, you know, when Amari Cooper is not holding out, or like when he was holding out of minicamp, could he be the third receiver over Elijah Moore? Now, I think, and this is no disrespect to these beat writers that thought this, I think that was just clearly a misunderstanding of inter-wide receiver kind of positions and stuff, because...
Yeah, right.
Because he, like, Elijah Moore and Cedric Tillman, that might as well not even be playing the same position. They don't win the same way. They're not used the same way. Like, he was never going to play over Elijah Moore, but they clearly really liked him, and he can really not only, but he's primarily an X receiver, which is Amari Cooper's role. Now that Cooper's out, you see immediately they throw Tillman out there. And I wrote about this his in-season data is in the tracker right now. I charted him on Friday.
Beautiful.
My pre-draft comparison for Cedric Tillman was Cortland Sutton. Mm-hmm. And apparently I have to caveat with that with, like, I mean this complimentary. Like, if I guess I have to say pre-ACL tear Cortland Sutton, because every time I say
that's what I would assume. I mean, well, you're not comping him to this washed, like, you know, this, I don't want to say he's washed, but, you know, a lesser version, an older version of Cortland Sutton. I mean, dude, guys, come on. Sutton in his prime was freaking good. He was a good player. I mean, you know, he's not all
pretty
pro.
Good. He's still pretty good player.
I agree with you. I totally
that's another thing. Nobody likes comps unless it's the best, you know, wide receiver in the NFL. I've been getting a lot of, like, point. Is he the next Nico Collins? I mean, yo, let's slow down a second. Nico Collins has become like a top five wide receiver in the NFL.
Right.
And I don't know that Tillman necessarily has Nico's like explosive ability. However, what he does do is much like Nico Collins, I'll give people this. He does beat man coverage. He gets off the line of scrimmage against press. And he is great on these in-breaking routes. But also, I think that's why I liked the Courtland Sutton comparison, because he's more of like a bigger kind of build-up speed player. But Sutton's best routes have always been, in addition to kind of, hey, I'm a contested catch threat in the go route area, he was good on these in-breaking routes. That's why he's been a good fit with Sean Payton, because that's what Sean Payton wants to do. He wants a big body X receiver to run slants and posts and over routes. And Tillman shows that ability too. So, yeah, I think Tillman is definitely a guy that, like, from a fantasy perspective, if you picked him up off the waiver wire last week, congratulations. If you got to do it this week, you're going to have to pay a lot more for him if you want to do it off the waiver wire this week, because I do think he's going to be a guy that's probably the lead receiver for this team rest of the season. Although I am very happy to see Elijah Moore kind of popping up here, because I've still got like a little candle lit for Elijah Moore. I just think that this environment in Cleveland has been so atrocious, and now they have a real quarterback back there who can actually execute the offense and get the ball to guys who get open. Tillman gets open. Elijah Moore definitely gets open. And Judy gets open, even if he's been a little overrated in that regard.
You're not going to find two guys on a podcast more high on Elijah Moore than the Reception Perception podcast. Okay, I love this guy. I've loved this guy I loved him before he was ever in the NFL. I'm like, come on, man. Like, this guy, I was stumping hard for this dude to be in Green Bay. You know, Davante Adams, yeah. Elijah Moore. It's kind of interesting where their paths have taken them. But yeah, Elijah Moore, I've been stumping hard for this guy. I thought this guy was a natural separator and could play, you know, all three spots if need be. But he's certainly found, I think, a little bit of a home here as a flanker slot, primary slot guy for Cleveland. But I will say this, this is going to be really, really interesting, because Baltimore came into this game extraordinarily banged up, right? They were down a couple of their key defensive secondary pieces, including Marlon Humphreys, which is a big loss. And just in general, the loss of Mike McDonald on the defensive side of the football as their DC, I think, has really sapped them a little bit of their superpowers too. Last year, they were just, I mean, dang, you just did not want to run into this Baltimore Ravens defense. This year, it's one of the more generous pass defenses that you'll find in the NFL. So now, again, when you talk about that, then you've got, you know, you've got the whole post Deshaun thing, you know, the team rallying up here, and all these guys just balling out, Cedric Tillman, Elijah Moore. They look, David Njoku, for God's sakes. I mean, we haven't talked David Njoku was completely unlocked in this game too. Looked awesome, man. Okay. The next remaining schedule, we're going to find out what these guys are made of, man. You've got the Chargers. You've got a bye week. You've got Marshawn Lattimore and the Saints. You've got Pittsburgh. You've got Denver. And then you've got Pittsburgh. My God. Matt, you're talking, I don't know, over the next, you know, 6 weeks, you're talking, you know, four of the best pass defenses that we've got in the NFL. This is a rough stretch of games for the Browns.
Week 15 Chiefs too, another suffocating secondary. Before they get the Bengals again in week 16, thank God.
Yeah.
Man, season's getting old here, James Coe. We're moving along.
I know, we're moving, dude.
Talking week 15 at some point. Yeah, I will say I think the Saints defense, maybe let's dial expectations down for that group, because they've had a pretty rough last few games, and
I think they're
in about like they're pretty close to checking in on like vacation calendars here. I think the Saints are right around. They're like maybe making January plans and not travels for the playoffs, travels to, you know, a tropical beach somewhere. I don't blame them at this point with what's going on in New Orleans. But yeah, I do think that is a really tough schedule for this offense. So obviously Jameis will be put to the test. Nobody expects Jameis to come in and be, I don't know, a great starter or anything like that. We know who Jameis Winston is, but I do think that he was a great bet for this Browns team in the offseason, because he is everything that Joe Flacco is, I think, from a skill set standpoint. He's a bit more of like a, he's more of a poor decision maker than Joe Flacco.
Obviously.
Definitely at this point in their respective careers, but he's a guy who can stand in the pocket, go under center and rip downfield throws. That's what Joe Flacco is. That's what Joe Flacco was with this Browns offense last year. But he also didn't carry the same kind of baggage that Flacco did. Like, he doesn't hurt Deshaun's feelings when he's in the roster, when he's in the locker room because, you know, of what the run that Flacco went on last year. So now that this is the post-Deshaun world, I think they, God. You know, Kevin Stefanski even said it today, like, this is the, our starter for the rest of the season in James Winston. And I get it because, again, this is, people kind of want the Browns to blow it up. I don't know what they're going to do about Deshaun Watson and the contract, but they just extended Kevin Stefanski. They just extended Andrew Berry. And we all know that, like, Deshaun is here and he wasn't able to be benched because of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to see, like, what do these guys do, like a Cedric Tillman, like an Elijah Moore, and obviously Jerry Jeudy, who you paid in the offseason. What do these guys do with, like, a real NFL quarterback under center? And it looks like we're going to get that rest of the season.
Yeah, I my whole conspiracy theory on it, I don't think it's much of a conspiracy theory. I think this is exactly what happened. They made Jameis the third-string quarterback because, again, actually, when you were reading some of the tea leaves, there was a much bigger groundswell for Jameis to start getting starting reps, right? And it just, you know, so they just made him third string. And what they did was they brought in DTR, who's a mobile quarterback, and they said, all right, well, DTR's a shotgun mobile quarterback, and he'll back up Deshaun, and we'll just keep the offense. Even if Deshaun gets hurt, then we'll just go to DTR. Well, I mean, again, DTR gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then James comes in and starts lighting it up. So I don't know. I'm 99% sure that's exactly what happened. Cause again, they got rid of Flacco. When, why on God's green earth would you ever get rid of Flacco, considering the run that he made at the end of last year? He's the comeback player of the year, for God's sakes, dude. You know, somehow. You got rid of him somehow, some way, over DeMar Hamlin. What? It doesn't make sense. Okay. But again, yeah, they're protecting Deshaun's ego. And when Jameis Winston started, there was a much larger groundswell for Jameis Winston to start. They had to protect his feelings again by making Jameis Winston a third string quarterback. Anyway, so here we are, man. It's it's pretty crazy. I don't know what the Cleveland Browns are doing. I mean, you've got this coach. you got to find yourself. I mean, shoot, he's such a good coach that even below average quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, are producing. Like, that's nuts to me. That's crazy to me. And yet they're trying to run out DTR and Deshaun Watson. Okay, whatever.